Hello? Okay. Thank you. Okay, now my mic I think is good. You should all be able to hear me, I'm hoping. All right. So for those of you who may not know me, those of you we might not have spent time with yet, I want to introduce myself. My name is Brianna. I'm the pastor of Youth and Kids Ministry here at Fort Alliance. And I want to thank everyone for being here this morning. I'm very excited to get to look at the book of Jonah. So if you have your Bible here, you can turn with me to Jonah chapter 2. If you don't have your Bible, there should be one in the chair in front of you, or you can share with the person beside you. But we're going to start now in Jonah chapter 2, and I'm going to read the entire chapter first. It says, "From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, 'In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of his grave, I called for help. And you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountain, I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord.' And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Let's take a minute and pray. Father, I thank you for Jonah. I thank you for the excellent reminder that he is to each of us to turn to you, that salvation comes from you. And so, Lord, I pray for these next 30 minutes, God, I pray that you will use Jonah to speak to each one of us. I pray that it won't take a fish or a violent storm to wake us up, but we will hear what you are saying to our hearts this morning. I pray this in your name. Amen. So I want to start by asking you this question. Have you ever had a moment in your life that seemed to throw you into a little bit of a pit? I'm not talking about a mere problem. I'm talking about a problem that you get stuck in and you can't seem to climb your way out of. Like it graduates from a problem to an all-out pit. Have you ever had that moment? I remember a definite pit moment when I was about 8 years old. I was visiting my aunt and uncle. I was there with my family. They were camping. And my uncle had a motorized mobility scooter, like the kind that you see at Walmart, and all your kids probably want to ride on. They had one of those. And my brother had just taken a ride on it, and he had gone turtle mode the entire time, which is the slowest setting. And so I, obviously, as the very humble big sister, knew that I was going to have to switch it to bunny mode to show him how to ride this thing. And so I got on, and the first thing I did was switched it to bunny mode, and I started, and within probably about 10 seconds, panic started to set in, as I realized I was going way faster than I was prepared for on this gravel road, and I was hitting straight for the ditch. And my aunt was standing off to the side, yelling, "Just let go, Brianna, just let go, and it will stop." But when you're panicked and you're scared, letting go of the handles is not the option. And so I screamed back, "I can't, I can't!" until I hit the ditch and rolled the scooter and was in a pit of humiliation. Life can throw you into a pit a lot more violently than that, can't it? Only this time there's no funny story. It's just hard. And when I say the word pit this morning, I want you to know exactly what I mean by that. When I say that word, what I'm talking about is something that could be emotional or actual. By an emotional pit, what I mean is an emotional problem that you can't solve yourself, like depression or anxiety or deep sadness. When I say an actual pit, What I'm talking about is a situation that is really real and is really wrong, and you really can't get out of it. Like probation, like you just got broken up with, like there was a divorce and it continues to affect you, like there was a DUI back then, and yeah, that moment was a pit, the actual physical situation you were in. But on top of that, you've got the emotional after effects of that situation. Sometimes we can dig a pit for ourselves, like if you lie and cheat and get caught, and now you're in a drama-filled relationship, you dug that pit. That's one that you dug for yourself. Sometimes other people can dig one for you and just kind of throw you in. That's like when you walk into work one day and someone says, "You don't work here anymore." Life just throws you in it. And then sometimes pits can just happen because we live on Earth. That is to say, a pit-filled world. And you didn't do anything. Nobody did anything. But you just kind of inherited it. Like, you don't love being single, and the Bible says it's a gift, but you just can't really get there. And it feels like time is ticking away, and family just seems like less and less of a possibility to you. A pit is a problem that has graduated into something that you are all out stuck in, into something that you do not want to be in. It is a situation that you want out of, but you do not have the power to get out of. And I want to talk this morning because I think what you need to know, I'm going to talk this morning about some things that you need to know when you're in a pit, because we've all been in that situation, and we're all going to be in that situation again. So the pit I just told you about with the scooter, that was fun and games. That was definitely not my worst pit, not by a long shot. I've been in the pit of depression. I've been in the pit of insecurity. I've been in the pit of death when a close friend of mine was murdered. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that later this morning. Life can get really low. And we're going to look this morning at a man in the scripture whose life has gone very, very low. And this is the prophet Jonah. And he prays a prayer in Jonah chapter 2 that we're going to look at that offers some insight that is transferable from his pit to mine and to yours. And if we look closely at the prayer, I'm confident that his is a prayer worth praying for you and for me, no matter what your pit is right now, no matter what you're stuck in. Whether or not it is any of the things I named this morning, or it's something that I'm not even creative enough to think of. So just a little bit of recap for those of you who missed Jonah chapter 1 a couple months ago. Jonah is a prophet to Israel, and Jonah is known by many theologians as the reluctant prophet, meaning God is going to continue to speak to Jonah, and Jonah time and time again is going to choose his own path. Funny enough, Jonah's name literally means dove, and like birds who fly away before a storm comes, he has this tendency to fly away. And last time we asked the question, what is it that you are running away from that you should be running to? I don't know about you, but for me in this next year, in 2019, I don't want to run away. I don't want to live scared. I want to run to the uncomfortable places that God is calling me to, because I believe that all of his purpose and all of his promises for my life are on the other side of that fear. So the Bible says that Jonah gets this word from God, but he doesn't like it. And I hope you know that when God tells you something, he's not always going to tell you things that you like. So if you're waiting to get a word from God, you might just be waiting forever if that word has to be something that you like. God might speak something to you, and it might require you to do something that's challenging. And so Jonah gets a word, but what does Jonah do? Jonah's like, forget that. He doesn't want to do it. He does what we do. We think that the farther we can get away from God, the more his voice is going to be drowned out. But how many of you know that you can run from God, but you can never hide from God? The Bible says that Jonah gets on a boat heading thousands of miles away in the opposite direction. He goes to sleep, and when he goes to sleep, God sends a supernatural storm so big that the sailors on the boat go down below and wake him up. Sometimes in order to get our attention, God will send a storm. And the only way that storm will settle is if we surrender ourselves over to God and to his plan. So the sailors come to Jonah and they say, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Oh, I'm running from God." And they're probably like, "That would have been helpful to know before we let you on the boat." So they say, "Well, what are we going to do?" And Jonah says, "The only way that this storm is going to settle is if you throw me overboard." But these men are good guys, and they're like, "No, no, no, we love you. There's got to be another way." But the storm gets worse, and the rain falls harder, and the wind blows harder, and finally they go, "Okay, you're going overboard." So they throw Jonah overboard, and when he hits the water, the Bible says in Jonah chapter 1 that the storm becomes completely calm. Jonah had now landed himself inside a pit, a literal one, the water. There are waves everywhere, the water's churning, it's not a safe place to be. But the Bible says that God provided a fish. So in chapter 2 of Jonah, something about Jonah has dramatically changed. He is now in the belly of a fish, below sea level, talk about what would seem like a pit. He's in the stomach of an animal, moving around, and he prays a prayer out of that pit that gives some insight that we can relate to our pits. Now let's pause for a minute before we dive in, because I know that some people have an intellectual problem with picturing a man in the belly of a fish. Like, you just can't get there. It's weird, it's too miraculous for you, it's a whale of a tale, it's just too much. No matter how you say it, you just have a hard time picturing a man in the belly of a fish. And I want to take a minute to tell you how I think about that. Jesus believed in the literal story of Jonah, and Jesus rose again from the grave. And so listen, if you ever predict your own death, rise from the grave, and are the Son of God, then whatever you say about Jonah will be good for me. You can be the boss, but until then, because Jesus actually predicted his own death, rose from the grave, and was the Son of God, we're going to go with what he believes, and he believes that this was an actual, literal story. So here comes Jonah, tales from the fish. These are prayers from the pit. Turn with me to chapter 2, verse 1. "From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God." From inside the fish. This is a very low spot, a very low valley. It's what some might be tempted to call rock bottom. Let's just agree that this is really, really bad. And Jonah says in this bad moment, let's move to verse 2. He says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry." Jonah is speaking here in past tense. Now, let me tell you why that's crazy to me. Because if I were in the belly of a fish, I would not be praying, "God, I called to you, and you answered." I would say, "Please answer." Current. Like, I'm in this fish right now. I'm calling, and will you please answer? "From deep in the realm of the dead, I am calling. Please listen to my cry." But Jonah is praying past tense, as if that's already happened. Where does his confidence come from? How is that possible? How can you pray like that in the middle of that situation? I'm more tempted to pray something like this. "Hello? God, are you there?" And Jonah is saying calmly, like, "God is right there. I called to you, and you answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry." So how can we pray with confidence like that in our pit? The answer is this. It's not because you know that you're going to get out of there. It's because you know that God is there with you. Jonah knows that God is right there. God is not distant. He's not far away. He's not pushing Jonah off. He's close by. And so the first thing you might want to know about your pit is that God hears your prayers from the pit. God, the Creator God, hears your prayers from the pit. However low it is, no matter what your pit is called, no matter what you've done or what you did to get yourself into it, no matter what somebody else might have done to get you into it, wherever you are in life, however low rock bottom is for you, God hears your prayers from that very moment. And when you're in that moment, that's something that you're going to need to remember. I mentioned to you earlier that I lost a dear friend of mine. I've shared that story with some of our youth before, but it was 10 years ago when I found out that her life had been taken. It was an instant pit. Maybe some of you have had a moment like this, but that is a moment where the loss of life of someone who is close to you is just the most close reality. There's nowhere to run from it. You're just in it. You're just there. There's nothing you can say. There's nothing you can do. You can't hug your way out of it. You can't pray your way out of it. You can't encourage your way out of it. You are in a pit, and there's nothing you can do for that immediate moment. You're stuck. I remember going to youth group the night that I found out and having a moment where I very, very clearly thought, God, I can't see you, but I know you're here. That was a really hard time in my life, but I know that I didn't walk through it alone. It was a pit. There was no trick or saying or anything that anyone could do to take away the pain of that situation. But I wasn't alone. As soon as I was there, I knew that God was with me, and it made a difference. Some of you are there right now, and you need to know that God is with you. He is aware. You might not be experiencing his best right now, but that doesn't mean that he's not there. It might mean you got a little frustrated towards him, or maybe you haven't spoken to him or thought about him in a long, long time. But guess what? He is right there. It says in the scripture in Psalm chapter 34, verse 18, that God is near to the brokenhearted. That includes you. Even if you broke your own heart, there's no way that you could ever end up alone. Not truly alone, because God can hear your prayers from the pit. And you need to know that. So let's turn back to Jonah, verse 3. I'm going to read 3 to 6. Jonah says, "You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever." Some of you know what this feels like. To feel like you're locked in forever and you just can't get out. You've been sad for what feels like a decade. You've been upset since somebody broke up with you. You haven't been yourself since you lost your job. Some of you know what this feels like. But listen to what Jonah says. Listen to what he knows that you might need to know, and I might need to know. Verse 6. "But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit." Now that's another one of those interesting things for Jonah to say. How exactly can you pray, "You brought my life up from the pit," while you are still there? How can that be? Now Jonah moves to confidence that his situation is changing. How does he know that his situation is changing in the moment that he is still in it? Does he know God's plan for the situation before it happens? No. Can his prayers make God change the situation? You know, kind of name and claim your outcome and kind of pray God into doing what you want. No. So how? How can you know your situation is changing while you are still in it? Here's how Jonah knew. Jonah knew that the pit itself was God already changing the situation. That very moment, that very situation, that very place that he felt stuck was actually moving him back into the plan of God. Jonah still felt like he was in the pit, and it was not a comfortable place to be. He was still in the water, still in the fish. But God had already begun to resolve the situation when he sent the fish. Think about it. He was in a fish. Fish move. They swim places. And right at that very moment, Jonah is being transported back to the original purpose that God had for his life. Jonah is actually being taken back to the thing that God told him to do in Jonah chapter 1. It feels so bad when you're in a pit. It feels like God is punishing you, not pursuing you. But what Jonah realized was that this very moment, this dark, dark moment, is not God pushing him away and putting him in time out. This is God helping him make up for lost time. This is him acting in his life. What we think is punishment may actually be the pursuit of God. There are so many moments in life where we feel like God is judging us, when in reality, judgment is the farthest thing on his mind. And when the circumstance feels bad, we just assume that there's no way it could ever be constructive. No way it could be helpful. No way it could be useful. No way that it could be doing anything to you or through you or for you. But God is so much bigger than you. I have no idea what you're up against right now, and I don't want to get up here and give you simple answers and pretend that I do. Life is hard. It's complicated. But I know this. What God has done for Jonah and what God has done all throughout the scripture from start to finish is this. Take something impossible and random and what seems meaningless, like it's just pain that maybe nobody else even knows about. And he uses that very stuck situation that you can't get out of to get you into the situation that you should be in. He does it all over the Bible. So Jonah realized that the pit is the plan of God. You, Lord, are bringing my life up from the pit at this very moment. So I just want to tell you simply, God has a plan for your pit, just like he had a plan for Jonah's pit. And I was scared to write that down because I know some people might think, oh, the preacher always says there's a plan. Of course, the girl with the microphone said there's a plan. Is that just what they teach you to say in Bible school? But listen, the Bible teaches all over the place. Jonah's just one example, but take a look at the lives of Paul or Joseph or Samson, to name a few more. The Bible teaches that God has a plan for every pit that you could ever possibly endure. He is a redeeming God. And I'm not telling you that whatever you are facing is easy. I know better. I've seen pain, I've seen hardship, and I know it's not easy. I'm not telling you that you should jump carelessly into a pit with no thought of the consequence because it's what you want and you know God will bail you out. That just causes pain for you and those around you, and it's not his plan. I'm also not telling you that you can know every single detail and explanation for why hardship in your life exists. I'm not saying we can know all the reasons for why hardship is in your life. What I am saying is that we can know at least one, because God is after you. He wants to connect with you, and he wants to connect you with his purpose for you from here on out. I've seen God do it in my life over and over. So let's turn back to Jonah one more time, starting in verse 7. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. End of prayer. Now, I don't know how you would end this prayer, but I would probably pray and say, God, now that we've gotten that all sorted out, get me out of here. That's how I would have ended the prayer. But he doesn't pray anything about his situation. It's almost like he forgot about it. And he's just saying, salvation is from God. My devotion is going to God. Worthless idols, I've done that. I'm out. I'm not going to do that anymore. That's what I was doing when I was chasing the idol of comfort that led me out of the plan of God and into the pit in the first place. I'm done with clinging to worthless idols because that's just turning away from God's love for me. He says right there in verse 8, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love. And I'm done doing that. God, you have all my devotion. End of prayer. He gives his devotion first, regardless of whether or not his situation gets better. Can we just admit that most of the time we don't do that? You know what we usually do with our devotion to God while we're in a pit? We like to bargain with God. You know what I mean? Here's what it sounds like sometimes. God, if you get me out of this speeding ticket, I will never speed again. I'll be done. I'm your man. If you will let me not be pregnant, I will never sleep with him again. Or anyone else. I won't even think about it. Sex will be out of my vocabulary. Won't even talk about it. Just get me out of this situation and I will devote myself to you. God, if you get us back together, we will honor you. We will honor you. We'll honor you. And I'm telling you, that's so backwards. Jonah doesn't even wait for that. He doesn't hold back his devotion. He just gives it to God. He doesn't say, God, if you change this, then I'll go with you. He says, I'll go with you whether you change this or not, because you are where life is found. Some of you, your biggest problem is not that you're in a pit. It's that you don't have anything worth chasing if you got out of a pit. You've got worthless idols everywhere. What is an idol? Anything that you put before God. Anything. Anything before God. Money, success, sex, companionship, marriage, respect, children, your resume. Anything if you put it before God. And if you chase those, you turn away from God's love for you. That's why Jonah says, hey, let's settle this deal now while I'm in this pit. I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity to decide what kind of man I'm going to be from here on out, because I'm done being the man who chases idols. I'm done with God no matter what happens, whether he lets me out of this fish or not. So the last thing that you might want to know about being in your pit is this. Turning to God right now is your best option. That's the best thing you can do, no matter how complicated it is. God will not be a quick fix to your situation right now. God might not answer all of your questions or solve all your problems. But the best thing that you can do is turn to God. Sometimes when we're in the pit, we convince ourselves that it's not even worth it to turn around. That God is so mad at us that it would be better to give up and keep going further into the pit. That's not true. Your best option is to turn to God. When we get in a hard situation, we all weigh our options. That's something we all have in common. And God is always the best one. It might not get better fast. It might not be a quick fix. But it is always the best choice you can make for you and for those around you. It might not uncomplicate things by tomorrow. Sometimes it only takes one decision to complicate things. And to uncomplicate them, it might take a long time. But turning yourself into God, surrendering to him, and deciding that your devotion will go to him right now is your very best option. Some of you, I know, it's like I've already gone this far. Maybe you're addicted to drinking. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's something else. Whatever your pit is, you need to turn it over to Jesus and devote yourself back to God now. Well, I just got out of this relationship, and I thought we were going to get married. What should I do? You should turn yourself back to God. I lost my job. What do I do now? You should turn yourself back to God. Start walking with him. Don't wait for some magical, miraculous interruption. Don't wait for God to snap his fingers and make everything simple again. Turn to God now and start walking with him. I have no idea what the situation is for you, where you've got no good options. It might feel like you're slowly sinking and the waves are high. But God's window of opportunity for you to walk with him is open wide. You can slowly start to put one foot in front of the other to walk with him. We'll help you out. God will carry you. Whatever you're stuck in, whatever you thought your life was supposed to be, but now it's not, and you feel all this pressure, the answer is open your Bible and realize that there is a God who is after you. And he's opened a window for you to walk with him. It might not be fast. You might come out with some marks. But it is better than staying where you are. And I promise you this. It is your best option. No matter how long, how low it goes. No matter the threats against you. No matter what the consequences are for your own actions. Your best option is to get to God one step at a time. And now verse 10. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. God wasn't done with Jonah. He had a plan. He still wanted to use him. And God's not done with any of us. No matter what pit you're in right now, no matter how much shame or guilt or pressure you might be experiencing, no matter how stuck you feel, God still wants to use you. So turn to him. I pray that 2019 is the year that you begin to walk towards him one step at a time. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for Jonah.